The US military operates around 15 active bases and installations, mainly Air Force, across the UK. They've been based here since the Second World War and they remain here as part of NATO. Military personnel and their families live on these bases, and if things go wrong and a service member is accused of a crime, the US military justice system operates under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It's a distinct legal framework and separate from civilian courts. But what happens when a member of the US military is accused of a crime off base, off duty, against a UK national? That is what happened to Dr. Sarah Steele. And a warning, this is quite a harrowing story. She met Captain Jacob Wilson on a dating app. He was a US pilot stationed here in the UK. They stayed in touch over Messenger before arranging to meet at his flat. And that would be the first time they met in person. Sarah left the next morning feeling that something was wrong. She accused Wilson of non-consensual sex, of drugging and of strangling her. He was charged with sexual assault and aggravated sexual contact, and in the end he was found guilty of strangulation but acquitted of the other charges, including non-consensual sex. The case wasn't investigated by the British police. It was handed over to the American military. Wilson was tried at a court-martial on a US airbase, despite the alleged crime taking place while he was off duty and in an English city. The judge in the case was an Air Force colonel. The jury who heard the case was a panel of 8 Air Force officers, all of them male. They ultimately decided a sentence of 6 months at a correctional facility. Sarah wasn't able to go into the details of the case when we spoke to her, and that was for legal reasons, but she could share with us her experience of the US court-martial system as a British citizen. The Guardian journalist Harry Davies was also there during the court-martial trial, which isn't open to the public, giving a rare account of what happened. It all took place at RAF Lakenheath. We spoke to Sarah and Harry about the experience, and I started by asking Sarah how it felt to face questioning as part of a formal military court.
It was a very difficult system to be in, and at times I was treated incredibly aggressively, and I felt like I was on trial, and it became a character assassination. People are attacking you with assertions that are trying to undermine, say that you're lying, say that you're a problem, say that you're all manner of evil things and that you're creating this. And you've got to wade through that, staring in the face of the accused.
Harry Davies, so you were present during the court-martial hearing. I understand, though, that in that system, it's not open to the general public. And these sort of cases, court cases, would normally be in England, Wales, and in Scotland. So, first of all, how come you were able to be there? And how did the proceedings seem to you?
So we asked the US Air Force. We were ultimately able to, you know, go onto the base. And but this was a active military base. There are jets taking off throughout the day. And it's a sort of, in some ways, a very unique location for a courtroom.
Mm. I mean, it must feel, to a large extent, another world. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking, why? If there is a case of assault against a UK civilian, why on earth is her case landing up in a US military court? How is this even happening?
Yeah, that is the question that Michael and I have been really trying to drill into. And it's, in short, there's a relevant legislation and sort of bilateral agreements date back to the early 50s, which govern the way in which the visiting forces operate and exist here. It sets out that the US government can prosecute its own military personnel if the offences that are committed here were committed while they were on duty or against another member of the armed forces, or the offence involved sort of US Air Force property or the dependent of someone who is visiting here, that might be a spouse or a child. In all other cases, the British police technically have the primary right to exercise jurisdiction.
And that would include Sarah Steele's case.
Yes, and so I mean there is a we've seen some police guidance which says that the British police would not usually waive jurisdiction in favour of the US when the damage that's being caused to the personal property of a UK citizen. In reality, our reporting suggests that there seems to be a kind of negotiation, that there's a kind of grey area, and that the UK and the British police forces and the US Air Force have a conversation. Sometimes that conversation seems to happen quite quickly, and the US Air Force does have a vested interest in prosecuting these cases themselves, and seems quite willing to try and maximize its jurisdiction. And what our reporting suggests is that the US is doing that, and that the British police seem to be, there are certainly instances where we have identified where the British police are ceding or waiving jurisdiction rather rapidly.
So, Sarah, is that why you are speaking to us today, or, you know, sort of going public with what happened to you, because you feel that in this grey area that Harry mentioned, people who are victims of crime are not being fairly treated, are not being given the option of clear information and therefore justice that they would deserve?
I think it's really important that for the interests of justice and for the rights of victims, that we have clear frameworks discussion around this. When British judiciaries and when the CPS and all of these entities in Britain have to exercise this discretion, when they have to make choices about prosecutions, when they have to go to court, and even when they sentence, those decisions are frameworked. And those frameworks act as guardrails. What I noticed here is that a lot of those guardrails don't in any way protect the victim, don't in any way protect the British public when they're being exercised by these American institutions. They're about the mission. They're about the personnel. They're about the military being served as the institution. And I think it was incredibly difficult for me to hear the conviction and then hear things like his kill count read out in sentencing when he'd
his kill count during his missions in the Air Force.
Yes. And it was raised as mitigation for why his sentence should be lighter. They were raising in his mitigation how many people he'd killed, supposedly to get him a lower sentence for committing a serious violent crime against me.
Are there other cases like Sarah's cases, you know, involving UK civilians and US military personnel that have gone down similar routes?
My colleagues and I have been able to identify a series of cases where there is a UK nexus, where there is no connection, where the victims have no connection to the US military and the crimes committed off base. Cases that are similar to Sarah's, where the UK police, for various reasons, have ceded jurisdiction and allowed the US military police to investigate and the case to be heard at these court martials located on the US Air Force bases.
And Sarah, what do you think? Do you think that the UK authority should be doing more to maintain jurisdiction over cases involving US military personnel? And do you wish that the police had held on to your case?
I think my key answer here is that coming into this and having been through an incredibly traumatic experience and reporting that and going through multiple parties, one thing that was very unknown to me was what the American court-martial system entailed. I absolutely could not make an informed decision when the information isn't there, and I didn't get that opportunity to. What I would say is, in speaking to the press, part of what I want is for women in the future to be able to make informed decisions about what's best for them in these experiences of trauma. The British public's interest isn't being taken into account. British victims aren't being informed adequately and making sure that they're giving informed consent when they're pushed into different things. And I want to make sure that from the other stories that I've heard of other people as well, that our experiences aren't repeated, that there is clear, bounded decision-making that's accountable and that serves the host nation, us, the UK, the British interest and our victims, not just the mission and the military.
I was speaking there to Dr. Sarah Steele and to Harry Davis. We approached the local police force, in this case, Cambridgeshire Police, for comment. The Guardian, who broke the story, did manage to speak with Cambridgeshire Police, who confirmed they agreed the Americans would take investigative primacy, they say, in Sarah's case. Sarah has made clear to us this isn't something she requested or wanted to happen. We've also approached the United States Air Force for comment, and we've approached the Ministry of Justice here in the UK on the wider concerns raised about British policing. We'll hear a response from the government just after 8 o'clock when we're joined by the Justice Minister, Jake Richards.
We heard the extraordinary story of Sarah Steele. She accused a US pilot of non-consensual sex and of drugging and strangling her. And in the end, he was found guilty of strangulation, but was acquitted of the other charges, including non-consensual sex. But the case was not heard in an English court. It was, in fact, tried at a court-martial on a US airbase, despite the alleged crime taking place while he was off duty and in an English city. I should say, if people are interested in this case, and go back and listen to it on BBC Sounds at 6:50 on this programme. Should this case have been heard in an English court?
Well, look, Amal, I'm only just getting the details of this case. I saw the reporting in The Guardian, and indeed I know that you have covered this at 6:50, and I will be, as you've encouraged your listeners to, listening back after I have finished this interview. It's a really serious case. It's very good that it's being raised by yourselves and others. I'm going to take it away back to the Ministry of Justice and make sure that we are looking into the details of this later.
I should just say it's The Guardian's reporting. I don't want to. The Guardian's done some fantastic work on this. They've told us that there were dozens of these kinds of cases. Mm. Are you aware in your capacity in the Ministry of Justice as this is an area that needs to be looked at?
Well, there are issues around military courts, whether that is in America or indeed our own, and how that interplays with our criminal courts and our civil courts. That's always an area that we look at. I will take this specific case, and Amal, you'll appreciate that I don't want to say anything that might undermine what needs to be a really thorough and objective look at this case over the coming days and weeks.
Jake Richards, Under Secretary of State in the Ministry of Justice, thank you very much indeed for joining us.